So I can tell you, I know that it took me a couple of times to ask you if you were excited for small group, but I can tell you this. Last night, I was studying and preparing for today, and my son Drake walked into our living room, and he asked my wife Sarah, he said, "Mom, when small groups start back up?" Because we've kind of been talking about it. And she's like, "Well, next month, son. It's right around the corner." And he did the "Yes, I get to meet new friends." So he was excited, and we want you to be excited for small groups. We really, really want you. As I kick off this sermon today, I want to talk to you a little bit at first about the small group vision, what our vision statement is here at DCC. Our vision statement is that Delaware Christian Small Church small groups exist to be a community of encouragement, to experience God together, to grow in our faith together, and to impact lives for Jesus Christ together. So I want to highlight two items in that vision statement. The first being a community of encouragement. What does it mean to be a community of encouragement? We at DCC exist to be a community of encouragement. You see, we are called to build each other up. We are called to live life together. We are called to take care of each other. We are called to strengthen each other. And it is also important to notice in that vision statement that we are, in this vision statement, that we are going to do these things together. We are going to experience God together. We are going to grow in our faith together. We are going to impact lives together. But we're going to do this by sharing life together, doing life together. So what does it mean to do life together? Most of the time when you meet for a small group, you meet for, about 90 minutes or so. Let me tell you, doing life together is so much more than just those 90 minutes together at small group. Life together means that you're going to spend time with each other. Life together means that you're going to open up your space to each other. Life together means that you're going to keep each other accountable. You're going to love each other. You're going to share resources with each other. I know that sounds scary, but that's the truth. That's what we want at DCC, is we want to do life together, and that's what life together means. Life together is dependence on one another, trusting each other. True investment in each other, investing in each other, is doing life together. You see, we at DCC are excited for small groups, and you're going to hear me say that a lot. We are excited for small groups because it allows us to accomplish the mission that God has set before us at this church, the vision and the direction and the path that He has set before us. It allows us to accomplish that. It allows us to accomplish the overall mission statement and vision statement of the church. Small groups at DCC will allow us to accomplish experiencing God, growing in our faith, and impacting the community and the world around us for Jesus. That is what our vision statement is at DCC. And that is why you'll notice our vision statement for small groups is so closely tied to our vision statement for the overall church, because it's important that we continue to take the same path that God has laid out before us. So as we go through this sermon series, we have a theme verse. Sam and I will be sharing this theme verse as we go over the next 4 weeks. And that is going to be Colossians chapter 2. And the theme verse is verse 2, Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. But this morning I want to read to you Colossians chapter 2. I want to read verses 1 and 2 this morning. It says, and it's up here on the screen for you, and this is the ESV standard. "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you." First of all, this is Paul. Paul is writing a letter here to the church in Colossae. And he is writing this letter, and what he's saying is, "I am struggling for you. I'm struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ." So let me start off by providing a little history to this text. Again, this is Paul. He is sitting in a jail cell and he is writing to this to the church in Colossae, letting them know that first of all, he loves them. He loves them and he appreciates the love that they have for Christ. He knows that their faith is evident. However, Paul is also warning these people, the people of Colossae and Laodicea, he is warning them to not allow false teaching and heresy come into the church. He wants them to be aware of this. And here's the thing, as he's writing this letter, he doesn't know who these people are. He's never seen them face to face. Paul has never seen them. And it says that he is struggling for them. Paul says, I'm struggling for you. And when we think of this word struggle, I want to tell you this word struggle means that he is in agony. So imagine Paul in a jail cell in agony because he has never met these people face to face and had the opportunity to warn them face to face and to continue teaching them. Agony. Agony means intense, prolonged pain, an outburst of emotion. And when I think of agony, I look back and I think of Jesus Christ who was in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says that as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, on his knees praying, he was in agony. So much agony that there was blood that came from him, his sweat of blood. And here, this same word is being used for Paul and to describe his concern for the people in Colossae. So we see him struggling. We know the love that they have for Christ. And what does he do in verse 2? He provides to them a recommendation. He provides a recommendation for the people. And what does he do? He said, I want your hearts to be encouraged. I want your hearts to be encouraged, and I want you to be knitted together in love. So if you're knitted together in love and if you encourage each other, it is going to help you stay away from what could possibly creep into the church. So DCC, how are we going to do this? How are we going to stay together and stay towards the calling and on the same path that our calling is and what we should accomplish with our mission statement? We're going to be knitted together. We're going to be knitted together in love because Paul tells the church, be knitted together. You see, knitted together means that we are going to be united. We are going to be together. We are going to be put together. My theme for this morning, you'll see on the screen there, it says, a church that is knitted together by connecting, changing, and cultivating is unbreakable. We are unbreakable. You can't move if we're connecting, changing, and cultivating. Over the next 3 weeks, Sam and I are going to be speaking on those connecting, changing, and cultivating. Those are three very important values that we are placing within our small groups. We have prayed very hard about, and that's the direction that we want to go, is that we want you to connect. We want you to build relationships. We want you to change. I know change is a tough word, but here's the thing. We are called to grow spiritually. So as we grow spiritually, we are going to change and cultivate. We want you to have a heart of service. We believe that small groups is going to stir up and cultivate a heart of service within you. So let's talk about experiencing God together. Connect. Connecting with one another allows the heart to be encouraged. Paul says, may their hearts be encouraged. He wants the heart to be encouraged. Okay, so having the heart encouraged, what does encouraged mean? Encouraged means consoling each other, strengthening each other, teaching each other. When we are connecting with each other, it provides a sense of, you know what, we're in this together. We're in this life together. We're going to strengthen each other. We're going to love each other. We're going to console each other. We're going to teach each other. That's what encouragement is. And don't you believe that in life, we need each other? There are so many ups and downs in life that we need each other. If we are comforting each other, if we are strengthening each other, if we are teaching each other, if we are celebrating the ups and the downs with each other, then we are encouraging each other. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." We are called to live a life full of joy and peace. Joy, gladness, happiness, peace, being secure, feeling that security, being filled with joy and peace. We are called to live lives of joy and peace. But how are you going to live a life full of joy and peace when you are living that life alone? Are we called to live life alone? Are we called to live life alone? That's a question for you. I want to have a little tiny bit of interaction. Are we called to live life alone? No, absolutely not. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, we see here that God is Adam and Eve. And God is like, "Look, Adam, it is not good for you to live life alone." Then the Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Yes, I understand. This is Adam and this is Eve. But here's the thing. The point is that God said that it is not good for you to be alone. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 1, it says, "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." Whoever isolates himself, which means you're isolating yourself, you are living alone, you seek your own desire when that happens, you become selfish, and then you break out against all sound judgment. Again, we are not called to live life alone. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10 says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone, when he falls and has not another to lift him up." This is what small groups is all about. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. If you fall, your small group is going to be there to help lift you up. When you fall, someone is going to be there. Someone is going to help you back on that path. Life together will fill you with joy and peace, knowing that your small group is with you in life, in the ups and the downs, whatever comes our way. Knowing that your small group is there is going to give you joy, you're going to feel happy, and it's going to give you peace, because then you're going to feel a sense of security. Matthew Henry, a commentator that I was reading as I prepared, he says that the more intimate communion we have with our fellow Christians, the more the soul prospers. Amen. Intimate communion, when we are together, when we are with each other, our soul prospers. A soul that is thriving is a soul that is connecting. I want to share with you an example of two men who developed a unified friendship in the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel verses 18 and verse 1, it says, "As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knitted together to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." David and Jonathan. David had just completed killing Goliath, and he's in talking to Saul. Saul is Jonathan's father. And during this conversation, Jonathan and David become knitted together. You see, they had such a close friendship with each other. Both men, here's the thing, both men, they came from different cultures. They came from different lifestyles. David was a shepherd. Jonathan was the son of a king. They come from different styles of life. And still, they were knitted together. They were unified. They were unified because they share a real relationship with their Heavenly Father. They share a real relationship because what they had in common was their faith in God. You see, when Jonathan had seen his father, when Jonathan had seen David speaking and talking with his father, afterwards they talked about it and they provided a connection that produced unity. In fact, Jonathan risked his life for David. He risked his life for David and stood up for David when David was in a time of conflict with Saul. You see, so many times and often we are scared of what people think of us when we share our faith. Sometimes we are scared, so often scared, where we share with people where we have been in life. So oftentimes we are scared when we share with people the road that we're heading down currently, the direction that we are currently going and following. That scares us because we're sharing. We're telling people what's inside of us. But you see, as we share our faith with people, as we share the road that we have been on before and what is in our past, if we share that, and then as we share the direction we're going, whether good or bad, whatever direction we're going, that is what helps you connect with people. That is real connection, is when we share. You see, Jonathan and David, they connected through hearing each other's hearts and hearing where each other was and where they have been. As we launch small groups, we're going to be studying Rooted. And that is what Rooted is all about. Rooted is about sharing your story, connecting with each other. Jonathan and David were knitted together through their story. They were united together. Their friendship was unbreakable. And as we develop relationships, through telling our stories, we will become a church that is growing in faith because we are doing life together. Strengthen everything as we allow God to work in our lives and allow people who are with us in life be the people that God has placed in front of our life for a reason. We talked about unexpected blessings. Marianne said that, look, you're going to miss out on unexpected blessings if you don't join a small group. That's an unexpected blessing, is when you realize that someone is in your small group to do life together, that is there to pick you up, that has been in the same place that you have been, that is going in the same place that you are going. God has placed that person in front of you. So are you willing to share your story? Are you willing to connect with people? Secondly, we are called to grow in our faith together. Change is difficult. But here's the thing, personal transformation should happen as a result of being in community. Spiritual growth, as we grow spiritually, we are in God's Word. We know God's Word. We understand. We are consistently trying to understand His Word and grow knowing what His plan is, what He wants for our life. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2, as I had read earlier, the second part in verse 2 says that as their hearts are knitted together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. Paul is wanting the people of Colossae to have a full understanding and a full assurance of God's character. That's what this scripture is talking about God's character. Full assurance, full understanding is being certain, having the confidence in God's love that He has for you. understanding that He keeps His promises that He has made for you. That is God's character. God's character is that He loves you, that He's going to fulfill the promises that He has laid out before you. And through small groups, we believe at DCC that we will be given opportunities within small groups to grow in our faith so that we have full assurance of who God is, of His character. Spiritual growth requires being in community. There are over 25 verses within the Bible that have the one another statement. I'm not going to go through them this morning. That can be homework for you if you would like. But there are over 25 verses such as, we are to serve one another. We are to pray for one another. We are to love one another. We are to encourage one another. And that's what we want to do in small groups. We want to do those things for each other and one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You see, this verse talks about children, meaning the infants and children, small children being tossed and to and fro by the waves. Here's the thing. In life, we get beaten by the waves. We get beaten by the waves. But here, this is talking about children. It says, look, children lack the stronghold of spiritual maturity. They cannot support themselves. And because of this lack of stronghold, they are subject to the deceivers, to the false teachers, to the heresies that may creep up into the church. You see, God wants us to grow up in our maturity. And when we do this together, as we grow in our maturity, as we do this together, we should be joined together where every person is trained and maturing in the Word of God. And as that happens, we will be teaching each other, encouraging one another, loving one another, serving one another. There is going to be true change in each other. Spiritual growth takes effort. Paul uses the term knitted together because knitting takes time. Knitting takes effort. Knitting takes intentionality. Disclaimer, I am not a knitter. I'm not. But I will tell you of a person who was an excellent knitter. And I love her to death. My grandmother was a knitter. And there are so many times where I would be over at her house and she would be sitting on the couch watching Jeopardy or, I don't know, those game shows in the evening time. And her hands are moving real fast. I don't know, is this knitting? Am I good with the sticks? All right. You see, here's the thing. My grandmother was constantly doing that when we were at her house. And it took her time. When her grandchildren were being born, she made every one of us a blanket, knitted it together. And she has quite a few grandchildren in our family. But she took the effort to do that for her grandchildren. She was intentional about it. Knitting takes time. I Googled knitting because I don't know how much time. I've never done it. But I always remember Grandma was always doing that. So I looked at how much time does it take to knit? How much time does it take to knit? I Googled it because you can find just a lot of things on Google, right? So I'm thinking, well, man, I'm going to sound good this morning. No, I didn't get a straight answer. Knitting takes time. the answers I got were, well, it depends on how fast you want to finish. It depends on how much you know, if you're a beginner or intermediate or an expert. There was no real answer. So here's what I gathered from that, is that it doesn't happen overnight. Knitting takes time, takes intentionality, it takes effort. If we are going to be intentional with the spiritual growth of ourselves and our fellow Christian brothers and sisters, then we must understand that it will not happen overnight. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, it says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Make every effort. As Christians, we begin our life of faith. But here's the thing, we must add on to that. Because as we add on, we grow. As we add on the virtue and the steadfastness and the brotherly love, then we are adding on. We are making every effort to grow and to change. Right here. "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing," continually growing, "they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful." I don't think that's the life that we're called to be a part of. That's not the life that God has called us to be. We are supposed to be effective and fruitful. So add to your faith. Grow. Change. Small groups will help us change. I'm confident of that. Small groups will strive to help you understand the love of God and the people that He has placed before you in your life to help you grow. And number three, impact. We want to impact lives for Jesus together. We want to cultivate. We want our hearts stirring up to serve one another and to serve our community. We want our focus to be on others. We want to serve each other. We want to outreach. And you know what's pretty cool is, as I was thinking about this, that's our goal as a church in 2019. Our goal as a church in 2019 is to impact the community and the world around us. So it is very important that as we begin small groups, we begin connecting, we begin changing. That way in 2019, we're ready to impact. Who wants to impact this community? Wow. Who wants to impact this community? Are you ready? I went to Brazil. No connection to Sam. Actually, I think I was where you were raised, possibly. São Paulo? Yeah. So when I graduated college, a few graduates, there was a big group of us. We went to Brazil and did a month of service there. And as we went, the whole group didn't know each other. I mean, I went to a larger private school, and we didn't know each other very well. I had some friends that went, so I knew them, but there were others I didn't. And as we left for this trip, we would go to Brazil, and we would help put a VBS's on. We would help husband and wives have a date night, and we would watch the children. We would play soccer with them. Not very good, Sam. Don't ask me to play with you, all right? We would play soccer and futsal and all these other things. We would help do repairs at the church. We would be in the community and help at the members' homes, or if they had a list of people that needed something. We were doing those things. And by the time the trip was over and we were done, we knew each other so well. This whole group knew each other so well because our hearts were stirring up. We were cultivating, saying, how can we do this and stay together as a group? When we get back, we're going to do this again. They're full of emotion, full of cultivating and stirring. Because here's the thing, part of living the Christian life is by serving those in need. Part of living the Christian life is by showing God's love to those who don't know God. When we serve, we are showing God's love. As the worship band comes forward, I want to tell you this. Small groups matter because we are able to fulfill the plan that God has for us at DCC. Small groups are going to provide avenues where we can be knitted together. Small groups will require time. Small groups will require commitment. Small groups will require investment from you. But at DCC, here's what we want. We want our small groups to be a place for you to be encouraged and for you and this church to become united. As we grow in unity with each other and with God, this godless world becomes more godful. You see, as we are knitted together and as we are united, we are going to pray together. And as we pray together, we are one voice to God. We are going to serve together, and as we serve together, we are one hand stretched out. We're going to worship together. And as we worship together, we are one voice singing praises to our Heavenly Father. That's what being knitted together is all about. That's what being united is all about. As we grow in unity together, and in unity with God, this godless world becomes more godful. Colossians, I want to end with this. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. Says, above all things put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. See, love is the bond of unity. Love fulfills what God requires of us in relationships. Delaware Christian small groups exist to be a community of encouragement, to experience God together, to grow in our faith together, and to impact lives for Jesus Christ together. Let me pray.